Welcome back, everybody, ready to dive into a new topic. Today, it's all about adaptive immunity.
Ooh, fascinating stuff.
It really is. And to guide us, we're going to be pulling some awesome insights from this Queen's University course on infection, immunity, and inflammation.
Sounds like a great resource.
For sure. It's like, you know, getting a sneak peek into a university lecture right from our comfy chairs. So, think of this deep dive as our mission to understand this amazing defense force our bodies have.
You mean like beyond just the basics, right? Because we all know it helps fight off those nasty bugs.
Totally. Like we're going deeper. We'll uncover how our bodies figure out who's a friend and who's an enemy, how those lymphocytes get all fired up and ready for action. And then the big one, immunological memory. You know, why you don't get chickenpox twice, usually.
Yeah, that's always baffled me. Like, how does the body remember?
Right. It's mind-blowing. But before we get all tangled up in memory, let's start at the beginning. Adaptive immunity, it kicks in when the first line of defense, the innate system, needs a little backup.
It's like calling in the specialists, right? For those tougher battles.
Exactly. It's a highly targeted response, unlike the innate system's more general approach.
And it all starts with figuring out what we're dealing with.
So, like, identifying the enemy. Is that where antigen recognition comes in?
You got it. It's like our body puts out a wanted poster for every bad guy.
Huh. That's a cool way to think about it. But who are the detectives in this scenario?
Those would be the antigen-presenting cells, or APCs for short. They're the ones who capture the invaders.
Okay, so they're like grabbing the bad guys and then what? Taking mug shots?
Uh-huh, in a way. They take little pieces of the invader, called antigens, and present them to the T cells.
T cells, right. Those are the immune cells that actually do the fighting.
Exactly. But not just any T cell will do. Each one is trained to recognize a very specific antigen.
Oh, I see. So the APC has to find the right T cell for the job.
Exactly. It's like trying to find a needle in a haystack with millions of these T cells floating around. And they use MHC molecules, think of those like ID cards, to show the antigen to the T cells.
Wow, that's a lot of cells to sort through. Yes. Okay, so let's say the right T cell is found. What happens next?
That's when things get really interesting. The T-cell needs to be activated, and this is where it gets a bit complex.
Complex, huh? Lay it on me.
So there are three crucial signals involved. First, the T-cell receptor, or TCR, has to bind to that MHC antigen complex on the APC. Think of it like a lock and key. They have to fit perfectly.
Okay, so that's the initial handshake, right? Like,
yeah.
Hey, I think you're the one.
Uh-huh, exactly. But it's not enough. There's also co-stimulation where the APC gives additional signals confirming the threat.
Oh, so it's like a double check system, making sure it's not a false alarm.
Exactly. And finally, we have cytokines entering the picture.
Cytokines, right. Those are like the signaling molecules of the immune system.
Yeah. They're like fine-tuning the T cell's response, telling it what kind of fighter it needs to become.
So it's not just a simple on or off switch. There's this whole intricate dance going on to make sure the right response is triggered.
You got it. And depending on the signals, the T cell can differentiate into helper T cells or cytotoxic T cells.
Oh, that's right. There are different types of T cells, right?
Yeah.
Each with a specialized role to play.
Exactly. It's like an army with different units, each trained for a specific type of combat.
Makes sense. You need different soldiers for different battles. But all this signaling and differentiation, it's happening within a very specific structure, right? The immune synapse.
Yes. You did your homework. The immune synapse is this tightly regulated junction between the T cell and the APC.
I read somewhere that it's like a high-security communication hub.
That's a great analogy. It ensures that the signal for T cell activation is strong and sustained. There's no room for miscommunication here.
Wow, it's fascinating how much complexity is packed into such a tiny space.
And there's even more to it. Did you know that forcing the formation of this immune synapse can actually reverse T-cell energy?
T-cell energy? That's when the T-cell becomes unresponsive, right? Like It's gone dormant.
Exactly. And this shows just how important the immune synapse is for communication and control within the immune system.
Wow. So much is going on. And to make things even more complex, we have this whole network of cytokine signals coordinating everything, right?
Absolutely. Cytokines are like the language of the immune system. They tell cells where to go, what to do, and how to behave.
It's like a complex communication system with different types of messages flying back and forth.
Exactly. And understanding these cytokine networks is key to understanding how the immune system functions as a whole.
So we've got antigen recognition, T cell activation, the immune synapse, and cytokine networks all these elements working together seamlessly to mount an effective immune response.
It's a marvel of biological engineering, really. And the beauty of it is that the adaptive immune response doesn't just fight off the current infection. It also learns from the experience.
Ah, that's where immunological memory comes in, right? The reason we usually don't get chickenpox twice.
You got it. Immunological memory is the basis for long-term immunity and vaccination.
Okay, so let's unpack that. How does our body actually remember past encounters?
After an infection, special memory B cells and T cells are generated. They stick around in your system, ready to respond quickly if that same threat pops up again.
So it's like our body keeps a record of past battles to be better prepared next time.
Exactly. This memory can last for years, even decades, protecting you from diseases you encountered ages ago. And it's not just a static record. It's constantly being updated and refined as you encounter new threats.
So it's like a dynamic database, constantly evolving to keep you one step ahead.
You got it.
It's amazing, right? Like, our bodies are learning machines. But hold on, sometimes you can get the same bug twice. If our immune system is so good at remembering, how does that happen?
Ah, good point. That brings us to the different types of immunity. You've got natural versus artificial, and then active versus passive.
Okay, that sounds familiar, but remind me, what's the difference again?
Well, with natural immunity, you're exposed to the pathogen out in the world.
Right.
In the wild, so to speak.
Okay, makes sense. So that's like catching a cold from a friend.
Exactly. But within natural immunity, there's active and passive. Natural active immunity is when you actually get sick, your body fights it off and creates those memory cells.
So it's like learning a lesson the hard way, but it sticks with you?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
You know, passive immunity is different. Think about babies. They get antibodies from their mothers through the placenta or breast milk.
Right. That's natural passive immunity. It's like a temporary shield, right, to protect them while their own immune system is still getting up to speed.
Exactly. It's borrowed protection, so to speak.
Yeah.
It doesn't lead to those long-lasting memory cells.
So no memory?
Nope, not with passive immunity, whether it's natural, like for mom, or artificial.
Oh, right. Artificial passive immunity? That's when you get an injection of antibodies, like after being exposed to something like rabies.
Exactly. It gives you that immediate protection, but it's short-lived.
Okay, that makes sense. So where do vaccines fit into all of this?
Vaccines, that's artificial active immunity. It's like a training exercise for your immune system.
I like that analogy. So you're exposing your body to a weakened or inactive version of the pathogen, and that triggers the immune response, creating those memory cells.
Exactly. And all without you having to actually get sick.
So that's why you can still sometimes get the flu even after getting the flu shot, right? It just means your body is ready to fight it off much quicker.
That's right. The illness is usually much milder because your immune system is primed and ready to go.
It's really amazing how something so simple can have such a huge impact on our health.
It really is.
Yeah.
It all comes down to understanding the immune system and how we can work with it. Speaking of working with it, researchers are actually looking into ways to manipulate immunological memory.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. To develop even better vaccines and treatments.
You got it. One area they're focusing on is using memory T cells to fight cancer. Imagine training your immune system to recognize and destroy cancer cells with the same precision it uses against infections.
Wow. That sounds like something straight out of science fiction.
I know, right? But it's becoming a reality. The more we learn about the adaptive immune response, the more possibilities open up for preventing and treating diseases.
It's truly mind-blowing. Okay, so we've talked a lot about T cells, but what about B cells? They're the ones responsible for actually making antibodies, right?
They are, and it's a pretty amazing process. When a B cell runs into its specific antigen and gets the right signals from a helper T cell, it goes through this dramatic transformation.
Dramatic, huh? What happens?
Well, it turns into a plasma cell, which is basically an antibody factory.
So it goes from reconnaissance to full-scale production.
You could say that. Each plasma cell is a specialist, making antibodies that are specifically designed to target that one antigen that triggered its activation.
It's like having a custom-made weapon for each type of enemy.
And these antibodies are pretty incredible molecules. They can neutralize toxins, block viruses from entering cells, and even mark pathogens for destruction by other immune cells.
Oh, right. They're like putting a big eat me sign on the invaders so the other immune cells know who to target.
Exactly. So you see, we've got all these different types of lymphocytes, each with its own special job, working together in this beautifully orchestrated system. It's what allows us to fight off such a huge range of infections.
This is all so fascinating. It's incredible to think about how much is happening inside our bodies to keep us healthy.
Absolutely. It's a complex system, but it's remarkably effective.
We've learned so much about how these different lymphocytes are activated and how they work together to get rid of those threats.
And don't forget about immunological memory. It's pretty amazing how our bodies can remember those past encounters and mount an even stronger response next time.
It's like having our own personal defense force, constantly learning and adapting to keep us safe.
Exactly. And the more we learn about it, the better we can support its efforts.
It really is incredible. And that's where vaccines come in, right? They kind of jumpstart that memory process.
Exactly. By giving our immune system a sneak peek at a weakened or inactive version of a pathogen, vaccines essentially create that memory without us having to actually get sick.
So it's like a practice run for our immune system.
Exactly. It's like showing it the playbook beforehand so it knows exactly what to do when the real game day arrives.
That makes so much sense. So when the real pathogen shows up, our immune system is like, oh, I know you. We've met before.
Precisely. And it can mount a faster, stronger response, preventing or minimizing the illness.
That's why vaccines are considered one of the most important public health achievements, right?
Without a doubt. They've saved countless lives and continue to protect us from so many diseases.
It's truly amazing how such a simple concept can have such a profound impact on human health.
It really highlights the power of understanding and working with our body's natural defenses.
So, knowing what we now know about this incredible immunological memory, where do you think research is headed next? What are some of the exciting possibilities?
Oh, there are so many. One really promising area is using memory T cells to fight cancer. Imagine training your immune system to specifically target and destroy those cancerous cells.
Wow, that's amazing. So instead of traditional treatments like chemo, we could potentially use our own immune system to fight the disease.
Exactly. It's like turning your immune system into a personalized cancer-fighting force. And this is just one example of how we're using our knowledge of immunological memory to create new and innovative treatments.
It's incredible to think about all the potential breakthroughs that are still to come.
It really is. The field of immunology is constantly evolving, and there's still so much more to discover.
Well, that's a wrap for our deep dive into adaptive immunity. We've covered a lot of ground today, exploring how our bodies identify and neutralize those microscopic invaders.
We've talked about those incredible lymphocytes, the T cells and B cells, and how they work together to keep us healthy.
And of course, we couldn't forget about that amazing immunological memory, the key to long-term immunity, and the reason why vaccines are so effective.
It's a truly remarkable system, isn't it?
Absolutely. So next time you think about your immune system, remember, it's not just some passive shield. Mm. It's this dynamic, constantly learning and adapting force, working tirelessly behind the scenes to keep you healthy.
And by understanding how it works, we can make smarter choices to support it and stay healthy.
Exactly. So until next time, keep exploring, keep learning, and keep marveling at the incredible power of your own immune system. Thanks for joining us.